Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Today, I'm joined by someone whose name you're going to likely recognize, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson is a renowned neurosurgeon who gained international acclaim in 1987 after leading the very first successful separation of conjoined twins, joined at the back of the head. Despite growing up in poverty, he went on to Yale University and the University of Michigan Medical School. In addition to his groundbreaking work in medicine, Dr. Carson has had an impressive career in politics, serving as the U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development from 2017 to 2021 under President Donald J. Trump. He also ran for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination and got some big news, something we're going to talk about today. He was recently appointed Vice Chair of the Religious Liberty Commission by President Trump. Here to discuss the new commission and lessons from his remarkable career is my dear friend, a man I've respected, admired for years, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, thank you so much for joining me.
It is always a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Dr. Carson, people are saying America's back. People are everywhere. President's calling it the golden age of America. But people that I know are saying faith is back in this country. There seems to be a real stirring, like a revival is taking place across our land. Dr. Carson, especially they're saying among young men, what are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Well, I've been thrilled as we've traveled around the country to the various universities in conjunction with Turning Point USA, also the other organization, Young America's Foundation. And it used to be the kids would kind of hide and they were kind of timid. Now you see them out there with their American flags on and their MAGA hats and they're quite aggressive. In some places, we've had to turn hundreds of students away that couldn't get along to the auditorium. And that is a definite change from a few years ago. And I think it says a lot about what's happening in our country, because I think the young people have seen that the direction that we were going in was not leading to the American dream. It wasn't leading to anything except a nightmare.
Yeah, I think people were tired of being silenced and shamed and stigmatized too at the same time. Dr. Carson, in the midst of it, I would say there's still some fear out there, concern. People go back to the open borders and the flood of people into our country. Radical immigrants, we're hearing continuing stories about that. Suspected terrorists, maybe here in our land and more. But hey, when something happens like what happened in Seattle not long ago, where they had that attack on Christians up there, they were hosting a peaceful service up there. Dr. Carson, it's just unbelievable that stuff still's going on.
Well, hatred, as long as Satan's out there, believe me, and there's somebody with a weak mind, he's going to stimulate them. And it really is very unfortunate, because also the Marxists, the people who want to fundamentally change our nation, one of the ways they do it is to create division and animosity among the people. That's one of their classic techniques. And, you know, we the American people are not each other's enemies. Even if we disagree about something, it doesn't make the person your enemy. We have to stop buying into this stuff and demonstrate what our Judeo-Christian values taught us from the beginning. That is, love your neighbor, not cancel your neighbor if they have a different yard sign. You know, all that leads to is chaos and violence.
Yeah, it does. Dr. Carson, at the same time, anti-Semitism continues to poke up its ugly head. Not long ago in Boulder, Colorado, according to the FBI, an Egyptian man in the United States illegally yelled "Free Palestine," used a makeshift flamethrower like firebombs at a pro-Israel group. 8 people were injured. It's hard to believe. You go to Columbia University, all this stuff's still going on in our country. Your take on all that?
Can you imagine how diseased one's mind has to be to accept that? And yet it's the same philosophy that we see with radical Islamists who think that anybody who doesn't agree with them is an infidel, and that you can do anything to them. You can lie to them, you can cheat them, you can murder them, and it doesn't count against you. And this disturbing thing is I'm seeing some of that kind of thinking occurring in our cities, on our university campuses. You know, people are yelling, you know, from the river to the sea. They don't even know what they're talking about. But burning American flags, hating Jews, hating America, and believing that they are the righteous ones and that anything they can do is justified because of their righteous state. It is really very, very alarming.
Dr. Carson, President Trump has not been shy around the issue of faith. I've been very encouraged by what I've seen, certainly in this early part of this administration. You go to establishing the faith office. Dr. Carson, this Religious Liberty Commission, which I'd love for you to talk about, the president appointed you as vice chair of that effort. Can you talk a little bit about that and how what we've been talking about all ties back to religious liberty?
Well, you know, I'm thrilled to see the president being concerned about religious liberty. He's given us more executive orders on religious liberty than any other president by a long shot. And a few months ago, I asked him, where did he get all his energy from? I said, you know, you're a few years older than I am. I don't have as much energy as you do. Where are you getting it off from? And he thought for a moment, and he said, it's from God. And I think he really believes that. He really believes that God played an important role in our country. And that, you know, one of our first freedoms articulated, you know, in our Constitution, is freedom of religion, freedom to believe what you want to believe. And of course, so many people came to this country early on because in Europe they were being persecuted for their religious beliefs and even killed and martyred. And so it's a very important part of our heritage. But more importantly, you think about what Judeo-Christian values teach us. It teaches you to love your neighbor, not to cancel your neighbor. It teaches you to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. It teaches you to develop your own God-given talents to the utmost so that you become valuable to the people around you. It teaches you to have values and principles that govern your life. Can you imagine if you do those things, what kind of society you have? That's why it's so important, you know, for the president and for our country
Dr. Carson, as I step back and look again at this Religious Liberty Commission and this anti-Christian bias tax force that's been established too, and with the faith office in there, what do you see will be the main task around all three of those entities as the administration moves forward?
Well, over the years, and I'm talking about both Republican and Democratic administrations, we've allowed anti-Christian ideology to seep into our policies. And it may not have been intentional, but it's still having a deleterious effect. And so we will obviously want to examine those things and bring those things to light and correct those things, make sure that, in fact, we are adhering to the concept of freedom of religion, freedom of choice. That's what makes America into a great nation. And not coercing people to do things, but making it very clear that everybody has choice, and we will, as a nation, enforce their choices, not allow anybody to cattle hold them into, you know, this chamber or this chamber, but let them live according to their conscience and practice according to their conscience. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, yeah, but, you know, a couple of governors have declared that you must put the Ten Commandments up in the public schools. And isn't that establishing religion? Well, is that really establishing religion? You know, virtually every religious sect, every people of belief around the world believe that you shouldn't kill people, and that you shouldn't steal, and that you shouldn't commit adultery, and that you shouldn't lie and cheat and do all those things. And reminding our children of that is not establishing religion, that's establishing civilization.
Dr. Carson, your faith has always been your inspiration. You and I have had numerous conversations together about that. I've heard you talk a lot about your inspiration, your mother. Take us back and how this got wired into you and why your relationship with God means so much to you.
Well, you know, my mother had a very difficult childhood. She came from a huge rural family in Tennessee, shifted from house to house, never really had a place that she felt was home, achieved less than a third grade education, got married at age 13, and a few years later found out that her husband was a bigamist and had the responsibility of trying to raise two boys by herself in the inner city with very little education. But she had something that was very important. She had faith in God. She believed in God and that he could do anything. And she prayed for wisdom, and he gave her the wisdom, because my brother and I were terrible students, and the wisdom was to turn off the TV and make us read books. And boy, we didn't like that very much, I gotta tell you. And all of her friends were criticizing her, and they said, you can't make boys stay in the house and read books, they'll grow up and they'll hate you. And we would overhear them, we'd say, you know, they're right, mother. But it didn't matter, we still had to do it. But after a while, it changed. I got to the point where I couldn't wait to get home and read my books, because we were desperately poor, but between the covers of those books, I could go anywhere, I could do anything, I could be anybody. And then my mother, at the same time, was always telling us, if anybody can do anything, you can do it too, except you can do it better. And she never accepted an excuse. It doesn't matter what it was an excuse. And she didn't tolerate it. So pretty soon we stopped making excuses. And we stopped listening to all the negative people who were saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, and the society is stacked against you and all this garbage. Just threw that stuff away. And at the same time, developed tremendous faith in God. We prayed as a family. We read the Bible together. And I came to believe that God was an integral part of my life. You know, when I was a teenager, I had a terrible temper. I got into a lot of trouble. And I almost stabbed someone, except for the fact that they had on a metal belt buckle underneath their clothing, and a knife blade struck it and broke. But it shows you what God is like. He removed a knife from the hand of an angry teenager that was meant to do harm and replaced it with a scalpel to save lives.
Dr. Carson, in the midst of it too, somewhere you move from circumstances and victimhood to belief and possibility, and you began to chase it.
Once I got over that anger situation, you know, I was very, very focused on what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to be a psychiatrist, actually. I majored in psychology in college. Had some terrific professors like Anna Freud, the daughter of Sigmund Freud. I was into psychoanalysis. But when I got to medical school and started listening to the neurosurgeons and the incredible stuff they could do with the brain and the spinal cord, it started attracting me like a magnet. And people were saying, no, that's the wrong field for you. Because at that time, there had only been 8 black neurosurgeons in the world. But I'll tell you something, the good Lord does not dispense talent based on race. And I took to neurosurgery like a duck takes to water. And I started out as an adult neurosurgeon, but I quickly switched over to pediatric neurosurgery because kids have so much more potential. You know, you can operate for 20 hours on a kid and your reward may be 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life. Whereas with an older person, you know, they die in 5 years or something else. So you got a lot of potential there. And I've always had a very soft spot in my heart for children. And one of the greatest feelings I have now, even though I've retired several years ago, I run into people all the time in airports, at speaking engagements. And they say, "You operated on me when I was a little baby." Yes, thank you.
What a storied career. Dr. Carson, you have a real love for the family. Your recent book, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. When you went through and began to look at all the data, Dr. Carson, what struck you the most about the family? And what kind of gives you heartburn when you look at culture right now as it relates to the American family?
Well, one of the real eye-opening things was a study done by the Brookings Institute and Princeton University, studying all the states and determining which one had the greatest number of traditional nuclear families. And the ones with the most nuclear families had the most successful children academically and were doing the best economically. And these are not conservative institutions. These are liberal institutions who are finding this out. And with our scholarship program, the Carson Scholars Fund, we award children starting in the fourth grade for superior academic performance and demonstration of humanitarian qualities. Again, those award ceremonies are attended by the families, and the vast majority of those children who achieve at that level have traditional nuclear families with a mother and a father looking after them and creating the environment for them to thrive. And we need to understand that that was really one of the purposes of the God-ordained family, to create an environment where the children thrive. And children are very vulnerable. They're very, very curious. They're very suggestible. And their brains don't fully develop until their mid to late 20s. So can you imagine what happens when you don't have that family environment, that protective environment, and a brain that is ready to be manipulated? It's really child abuse, and we see it happening in our society. And that's why it's so important that we get those families back together. We're having a marked decrease in marriage, and the birth rate has gone from 3.6 births per woman in the 60s to 1.6 births per woman now. You know, we're looking at the gradual extinction of our society, and we need to really think this thing through.
It's no wonder then, Dr. Carson, there's been such a battle for control of our children, especially in the educational space. Get in there and you win the war for our kids, you control the outcome is what happens. Yeah, and so people, when they were struggling, over the last couple of years over parental rights. Now it becomes clear that the educational system wasn't focused so much on education as it was indoctrination. And so we've got to push back. That's the challenge here. We need to make sure people understand these principles and why they need to show up like mama bears are starting to do at school board meetings and more.
Amen. And that's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old and not depart from it. But the Marxists know that too. And Vladimir Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted. That's why they're so anxious to get in our schools early on and corrupt our children, to corrupt their values and their morals. And it's working. And if we're not just as vigorous and intense as they are, they will win.
They will. Teaching those foundational values to our children. Dr. Carson, as you look at the administration going forward, the Department of Education, you have been involved in policy formation development. Just as you step back, what are some of the things that people should be thinking about, praying about, and engaging in on?
Well, the key thing is people need to recognize that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. Just because we disagree about something. You know, I always say if two people agree about everything, one of them isn't necessary. And we really need to stop allowing ourselves to be manipulated, because that's the greatest chance of destruction of this country. And our foes recognize that we cannot be overcome militarily, but they do realize that we can be overcome from within. A house divided against itself cannot stand, never has stood, never will stand. And, you know, our strength came from our unity. Look at what we accomplished in the world, and look at how the world changed after this country rose to the pinnacle. It was a bunch of barbarians before that, everybody conquering and killing each other. The world needs this country, and it needs it to be successful.
Dr. Carson, I think I'd like to close this way, stepping back to the issue of faith and how faith can play a role in helping stabilize our country and more. What would you say to people of faith listening everywhere right now about what they can and should be doing? Seriously, as we look to the future, people are they're thinking about the midterm elections, they're thinking about where we're going to be 4 years from now, and they're thinking and praying about their children and their children's children. Jack Graham says, Tim, this is legacy stuff that we're talking about here. This is critical.
I think they should be thinking about the disciples. When Christ rose and went back to heaven, he left the disciples. There weren't a lot of them, but look how many people of faith there are in the world now. There are billions. And it starts in your own sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of influence. And if we lead the right kind of life, we provide the right kind of example, people are always watching. They know who you are and what you're doing. And you can have an incredibly positive influence on them. And if we all begin to think that way, it will make an enormous difference.
Dr. Carson, always great to see you. I'm wondering, maybe next time we might be able to invite Candy on. We can talk a little bit about marriage and fun. I bet that would be spicy and pretty dynamic. What do you think?
Well, you know, next month we're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary.
Are you really? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That would be terrific.
That would be a lot of fun. Hey, on behalf of my son, Zach, our co-host, and our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you. Praying God continues to strengthen you, especially as you help lead our country. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops. So you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.